Welcome to the Lost and Found in Serbia podcast. I'm Evan Trace, here with you again in this early summer period of 2021 in Belgrade. I'd say things are returning somewhat to normal on a lot of fronts. COVID cases are way down. We have vaccination numbers up. Things are opening back up. Kids are back to their normal shenanigans, school and after school activities. Barbecues are starting back up. So it feels really good right now, even despite some spotty weather, a little more rain than we'd like, especially on the tennis court. But overall, yeah, it's a good feeling, and it's a time to kind of reassess where you want to be, what you want to be doing now that many of us are now free to move about the cabin, so to speak. I don't think I thought too much about how I would return to normalcy once we were able to. I think I sort of just rode the wave, and I think I've returned to close to normal fairly easily. I think it was a few moments where it felt weird to be around people or in people's homes or at a restaurant. I didn't think too much about it, but now that well past my second vaccination, I feel like most things are open and ready to go. And while I still wear a mask when I go into stores, etc., or cars, taxis, otherwise, I feel like things are going in the right direction. And I'll be traveling this summer with my family back to the U.S. for a little while, but I'll spend most of July here. And I think it's a promising time. It's hard to know how it will all turn out, and we obviously have to worry about the potential for a fall bounce of the virus. But overall, it's a good time to be alive. If you've made it through this last year, then this is the time to start reassessing what you enjoy in life and how you like to do it. At least that's the way I think about it. And today's guest, I think, is a fitting guest. Her name's Marija Zeljković, and she's a young entrepreneur who started her own tourism business called Alternative Serbia. And she has a kind of academic background in tourism and history, etc. And she decided to start her own business with its own kind of approach to tourism and crafting experiences for people who visit Serbia. And it was just a very positive conversation to hear about her approaches and to know that hopefully she'll be back in business this summer, and there'll be people coming to Belgrade from all over once again. Obviously, the numbers will sort of trickle in, but hopefully by the end of the summer, we'll have seen a lot more people coming to Serbia, enjoying it, learning about it. So speaking with Marija was refreshing for me, both because of her approach, but also because she's a young person trying out something new, making connections. She noted the idea of cultural ambassadorship, which is something I think is dear to my heart, sort of as a professional expat and as somebody who served as a Peace Corps volunteer 20, 25 years ago. The idea of people purposely going out of their way to make connections across geographic and cultural barriers is something that I think is really valuable. And now, coming out of COVID, I think it's even more valuable because we're going to need to re-engage with one another and find new ways of communicating and enjoying each other's company. So without further delay, I bring you Marija Zeljković. Marija Zeljković, welcome to Lost and Found in Serbia. Thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for your time and the invitation.
So I want to let you introduce yourself and Alternative Serbia and maybe tell a little bit about what you're doing and what Alternative Serbia is about.
Okay, well, I'm Marija and I'm 24 years old. I live in Belgrade for all my life, and I have to say that I'm madly in love with Serbia and everything related to my country. And I enrolled at the Faculty of Geography. I finished studies at Tourism Department and Master Studies also. And after that, I decided to start my PhD studies because I'm really interested in this tourism industry and in everything related to Serbian tourism. And I decided to help my country to help in creating some new different kind of offer here that will be more adjusted to the needs of contemporary tourists. And because of that, I decided to create Alternative Serbia as a completely new way of traveling.
So when you say a completely new way, well, first of all, it sounds like you have actually the real academic background for this, which is, I think, probably rare in this industry. But what do you see are the problems with, or the, let's say, the lack that's currently in the approach to supporting tourism in Serbia?
Well, first of all, I think that in Serbia, tourism and many other industries are not so well developed. They're underdeveloped. So you have so many opportunities to improve something. And I recognize that opportunity. And as you mentioned, because of my formal knowledge, I decided to do something practical, not just to be in that field of formal knowledge. And I think that today needs of tourists are changing. They don't want to be behind the tour guide and just follow about some historical monuments or mm-hmm. boring dates in history. They want some interaction. They want to feel the energy of destination. They want to meet local people, to try food, to be inside of that everyday life in a destination. And because of that, I wanted to change something and to give them opportunity to feel the real Serbia.
Yeah, that's, I think, a trend that you see globally, which is that people who travel now are no longer interested in package tours or just seeing the monuments, and they want to understand the local culture and actually get to meet people. At the same time, there's people who think they want that, but actually just want a kind of show to give them the sense that they have been deeper in the culture. Is there a way that you differentiate that? I mean, I'm not sure how much you've traveled. What do you see as the, let's say, the gray area there, and how do you kind of navigate that?
Well, I traveled mostly around Europe until now. But I can say that in my personal experiences, when I had that contact with the local population and when I was part of some, for example, workshops or classes, that were the best experiences. And I wanted to have that way of tourism development here in Serbia.
So what made you start Alternative Serbia? And what were your first, let's say, clients? How did you, dip your feet into this sector?
It was one competition here in Serbia. It was dedicated to young entrepreneurs, and I had some ideas from the faculty. I wanted to start my own business, and I applied. And everything after that was dedicated to the development of Alternative Serbia, because I realized that here in my country I have so many potentials to develop tourism, to include local community, to help the environment through that work, and I wanted to do something more valuable. So I decided to create a project in tourism field that will be dedicated to foreigners, in order to reveal them my mentality, culture, people, some crazy customs and old traditions that are present here. And besides that, I wanted to contribute to the Serbian people here in the way that I will include them in some tours, I will sell their products, I will donate to the hungry or some similar charity organizations, and help in that way to the both sides, to foreigners and Serbian people.
And What do you think that people who visit Serbia in more traditional ways, what do you think they're missing? What are the key elements of what they just simply don't get in touch with by flying in, doing a couple of regular tours, maybe going around Belgrade, you know, driving in Novi Sad? What are they missing?
Well, first of all, I think they're missing rakia because everything is in Serbia starts with rakia, but not just with rakia, but with other stories that following rakia. And I think that, as I said, that contact with local community, that insight into their everyday life, to hear their problems, to hear the real economy stories, to hear how we live, to hear about 90s and all tough things that were present in Serbian history. And on the other side, to understand how it's possible to have such a cheerful nation after all these bad things that happened here. I think that you can't understand those kind of things if you are just on a regular tour and or in some traditional way of traveling.
Yeah, that's a good point. I must say, when I first came to Serbia, which I think was in probably 2008, I really didn't know what to expect. I mean, obviously, I knew the history to some degree. I was worried to some degree about saying, you know, I'm an American. But I was pretty quickly disabused of the fear, because people were very open. People were very welcoming. I didn't speak any Serbian at that time, but I did speak Russian, and I would kind of mix in, try to understand a little of the language and drink some rakia. But I did actually quickly get a different impression of Serbia and Serbians. And it probably was because I came with a friend who's married to a Serbian woman. So I got, you know, I got, let's say, kind of the experience that alternative Serbia is providing, which is that I immediately got at the people's houses, immediately was visiting small places and drinking around a table. How do you make those connections for people, you know, who don't have any connection? They arrive first time from Norway or from the US or France. What do you do? How do you network to establish these kinds of connections, network that give them that sense?
Well, I have to say that I agree with you completely, first of all, because I know that many foreigners are afraid to come to Serbia because they don't know what to expect, and they don't know, is it still war here? They're constantly asking there, is it war in Serbia? Is it safe? And I just can't believe how little information is present worldwide about Serbia. And I want to change that. And I wanted to present myself as a cultural ambassador of Serbia. In that way, I found some small shops, people who make organic products, who do some handmade work, and I just made connections with them and included those people in my tours. And through that way, I help foreigners to make that contact, you know, to meet real people, to talk with them, to ask them about their products, about their life, about their orchards, forests, whatever. So that's the way how I managed to create those contacts.
What do you try to help? You said as a cultural ambassador, which I think I have a little bit of experience with, because I started my international career as a United States Peace Corps volunteer. So I went off to Central Asia and was sort of a cultural ambassador in a way. What do you offer to the local people, to the networks that you're talking about through this? Because I see that you're talking about this as a kind of a two-way street. This is not just help foreigners understand Serbia, but actually help the Serbian businesses and people that you work with to have a connection with the foreigners as well.
Yeah, exactly. That's somehow my mission. I think that I am helping them because I give them opportunity to sell their products on a wider market. Also, I help them because they have that specific experience with foreigners. They're not working just with the local people. And also, I promote their products and services. They're part of my marketing strategy. I really love to help them to show their work and efforts to other people. And on the other side, I think that this everything has a bigger meaning because I want to create a community. Community mm-hmm. for Serbs and community for foreigners, and to just change those values between them.
So if, for example, someone called you and said, I'm going to be in Belgrade just for 3 days, what can you offer me? What are the kinds of tours, let's say, for a short-term guest, what kinds of things would you recommend to them and why?
Well, at the moment, all tours are daily tours. So they last, for example, about 3 hours or 6 hours. Mm-hmm. And I offer so many different types of tours in order to adjust the program for different kind of needs and different kind of markets. Mm-hmm. For example, I can offer dark tour. It's the first type of that kind of tour here in the Serbian market. It's tour related to dark history and graveyards and their heritage value. And it's really amazing because I noticed that in some big tourism forces, if I can say like that, for example, France or America or in England, they have that kind of graveyard tours. And they're very popular because graveyards are like cultural heritage and many stories are present behind them. So I decided to offer stories about Serbian history, which is very rich. And apart from that dark tour, I have also eco tours related to pristine nature here for people who love to be more active on bikes or, mm-hmm. for example, veggie tours, because Serbia is known as a meatland country, meat country. But also we have so many different choices for people who are vegans or vegetarians. And I want to show them that they can eat here in Serbia well, even if they don't eat meat.
Although, you know, čevapčići are pretty important as well.
Yeah, of course. It's a part of national identity.
Absolutely. So aside from Belgrade, do you cover all of Serbia?
That's the plan for the future. First of all, I want to cover Novi Sad because it's the second most famous city after Belgrade. And it's also a place where you can find many alternative stories and places. But in the future, I really want to expand the business on the whole Serbia. Because, for example, in eastern Serbia, you have so many places related to black magic, and it's very, very unique.
Wow.
Yeah, and people don't know about that, and I think that it will be really extraordinary to show them and to tell them all the stories, to meet them with old ladies who predict the fortune and everything. So, yeah, I have plans to expand the business.
Well, I didn't know about the magic either. Can you give me a taste of what do you mean by black magic?
Well, it's some kind of pagan traditions in the eastern part of Serbia, and there are many beliefs related to different black magic customs, also white magic, and some stories are legends, of course, but on the other side, even today, you have some families that do that kind of magic like for a business or voluntarily, and you can go in their house and just ask for a favor or for some prediction or some special trick or something like that.
Wow, I'm gonna have to look into that. I'll follow up with you afterwards. I need some black magic or maybe white magic in my life.
Better white.
Yeah.
I suggest white.
I'm going to go with the white maybe. So since Belgrade is where you're concentrated now, obviously the pandemic has been very difficult for tourism everywhere in the world. What
obviously this year has probably been quite slow for you, but what do you have in planned for, let's say, the reemergence of tourism in Europe?
Well, I always say that I'm ready when tourists are ready. So I just want to, for everything to stop in this situation. And I think that many people here in Serbia have been vaccinated. So I just hope that everything will end soon and that tourism will start again. And also, it's characteristic for the Serbian mentality that we like to hang out and organize parties. And this whole period of social distancing, distance is very difficult for us. And I'm very happy because at the moment, literally everything is working normally. So I hope that tourists will recognize that and come to Belgrade.
Yeah, I think they will. I think by midsummer, I hope to see that things are back at least close to normal. My parents just visited recently, and they visited a few times, and they've very much enjoyed Belgrade. We've taken them to Novi Sad. We've taken them out to Zlatibor. And we let them kind of tour around on bicycles, and they really have felt welcome here, despite not knowing anything about the language. And they're, in a way, they've become a little bit ambassadors for Serbian tourism as well. To get back to Rakija, since you said it all starts there, I must say that when I first came to Belgrade, when I was looking at potentially working here, I ended up at the Rakija bar in downtown in Dorćol, and ended up spending a lot of evenings down there. Learned about Rakija, met a few people. So how do you introduce folks to Rakija, and how do you find their understanding of it? Let's say for those who, you know, first time they try Sljiv, it's they're scared. How do you get them to warm up to the Rakija culture?
Well, do you know what was the slogan of Nokia mobile phones?
No, I don't remember.
It's a connecting people. So Serbs changed that Nokia into Rakija. And Rakija is connecting people. So I always start with that. And yeah. People are very enthusiastic when it comes to trying Rakija. But Šljivovica is a little bit strong for them.
Yeah.
I think that foreigners more prefer some types of liquors, for example, raspberry rakija or honey rakija, plum or something like that. But Šljivovica is like the most traditional one. And I think that they found interesting the whole explanation about the process of preparation. So it is very interesting to foreigners to hear how families here prepare rakija, how everybody in the family is included in that process. So that is most interesting.
And where do you take them? Do you take them to restaurants or bars or to family homes? How do you introduce them?
Well, sometimes it's inside of the bars, sometimes it's even on the street, because here in Serbia it's not unusual to see people drinking in the parks, on the streets. It's something that is also part of our mentality, so I just want to make that completely natural, just for them to feel like they are Serbs. And also there are some parts in the Skadarlija street where people offer rakija tasting. So it's also possible to try rakija there.
And on the food-oriented side, you know, you said you cater to vegetarians as necessary. But do you have special spots or dishes that you try to introduce foreigners to when they first come?
Yeah, of course. I have many different food tours. For example, I have traditional food tour where I try to introduce all traditional meals. For example, sarma or ćevapi or pljeskavica and many others. Also, sweet tour where they can try some traditional sweets, both very old, like baklava, that is with oriental influences. Mm-hmm. And on the other side, they can try some modern sweets that are very popular among young people today. And veggie tour, yeah. And I don't know, street food tour for them to feel that street energy and to try pizzas, again, pieskavica, many other street food, traditional street food here in Belgrade.
Nice. Where are your, let's say, most of your clients from? I mean, most of the tourists that you've dealt with, where is like the sort of, you know, where's the epicenter of either European or global tourism for you?
Well, until now, I think that I had most tourists from US.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. And they were all very kind, very, very kind, really. So I really love to meet people really all around the globe, but mostly they were from US. I also had some tourists from Italy and from Spain. But until now, I think that I didn't have tourists from Asia. So I would also like to meet some people from Asia.
Yeah. I note that you are rather young, at least in comparison with myself. You started this business recently. Do you cater to a kind of youthful taste, or do you try to adjust to whatever the interests are in the age groups that you deal with?
Well, I can literally adjust everything because apart from tours that are already created, I have that kind of custom tours where people can create everything for themselves with my help, of course, if they want to see something specific, if they want to adjust the time of the tour, if they want to adjust the places that will be visited, everything can be adjusted. So yeah, I can offer something for people in all age ranges.
So that's cool. You kind of offer like a sort of travel consultancy or like mentorship in a way.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Instead of somebody, you saying, hey, I'm taking you here, here, and here, they say, I'm a vegetarian, I like to bike, I like to see nature, and I want to, you know, drink wine. And then you can put together something for them.
Exactly. I had some tours where we combined literally two or three tours. So it was perfect. Whole day experience, but full with a different kind of content. So great. Really great experience.
Yeah, that's cool. I think maybe that is a nice niche in terms of it's not travel agent because you're not just booking things for them. You're kind of creating an experience that matches their interests.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that because of that, my formal background education related to the faculty is very important because it really helps me in creating all the tours. And it really helps me because apart from living in this country, I really learned a lot at the faculty about history and culture and places, destinations. So I use that knowledge in this practical way.
Nice. Given that your academic interest is in this area and that, you know, you're obviously offering these services, where have you traveled where you felt that you had some of your best experiences? What has fed your interest, personal or otherwise, in kind of creating the experiences that you create through Alternative Serbia?
Well, I can say that maybe in Spain and in Italy, I had like the most complete experiences, and I think that it's maybe also related to the fact that I think that all countries in that part of South Europe have that similar mentality, like in Serbia. They also love to party, to drink, to eat. They're cheerful. They're not so strict. And I think that I like that because I love open people and I really enjoy when I have that kind of experience wherever I go, where I can meet locals, where I can talk with them to meet their culture, their lifestyle and everything.
Where do you, you know, hope to go from here? Let's say, you know, how would you like to grow Alternative Serbia, or what are your plans to where to take, you know, this business and this approach?
Well, I would like to be the perfect business, but more precise, I really want for Alternative Serbia to become a way in which foreigners can feel like Serbia is their second home. Mm-hmm. And on the other side, I really want to for Serbs to Alternative Serbia to be like organization that can help them to empower their businesses and that cares about its own country and culture. I really think that it's very important to preserve culture and traditions in every country, and I want for my agency and for my organization to do that kind of job.
Do you work with the, you know, any of the government entities, or do you partner with any large organizations in a way, or have you found that your approach is, let's say, being more welcomed by other actors in this space?
Yeah, when you are in tourism, you meet so many people. Of course, not in the past year when COVID stopped literally everything. But I attended many conferences, many events, and there I met partners, I met people who have the same opinion, who are ready and willing to help. So it's not so hard to find partners when you work in tourism industry. And I think that it's really the blessing, because if you have people who know more than you, you can learn a lot. And I really love to be surrounded by people who know more than me and who can help me and who can say me what is my who can tell me what is my mistake. So I think mm-hmm. it's really precious.
And for, let's say, the younger crowd, do you do things like, you know, spa tours, or do you kind of focus on, you know, the bar and whatever disco scene? Yeah, I'm showing my age uh-huh. by describing it this way.
Yeah, no, it's okay. Well, I have a hipster tour.
Oh,
it's
nice.
Mostly interesting for younger people. Mm-hmm. And we then visit some coffee shops and small places that are mostly visited by younger people, or also some places that are during the day coffee shops and during the night there are clubs. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we can again adjust everything. Yes, I have a plan to create a specialized tour for like party tour in Belgrade, mm-hmm. because that nightlife scene is very popular around Europe when it comes to Belgrade. And I will do that after this whole situation with COVID, because at the moment I think that splavs and clubs are not open yet.
Yeah, hopefully they will be soon. Not that I'll be going there, because I'm usually asleep by the time they happen. I am a musician. I do like to play music live, but I still like to wrap up by about midnight, which is, I think, when the splavs start.
Well, I can then consider to make some kind of music tour where people who are expats can be included and present Serbian culture and music.
There you go. A little cross-cultural tourism. Yeah. I mean, I'm a sort of professional expat since I've been living abroad for most of the last 25 years. But I will say that being in Belgrade the last 2 or 3 years has, you know, has opened up my thinking about living in places in Eastern, Southeastern Europe. And having spent a lot of times in the former Soviet Union, I really note that Serbia and to some degree the Western Balkans in general feel like a nice mix between the kind of Western, quote unquote, Europe and, let's say, the Far Eastern Europe. It's like a nice middle ground between. For me, it's been a really comfortable, aside from having to learn a new language, it's been a comfortable mix culturally, and it's pretty easy to adapt for my whole family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I completely agree with you, because if you, for example, see the architecture in Belgrade, mm-hmm. You will not see part of the town which is like unique architecturally. Everything is mixed. Yes. It's the consequence of that many different influences, for example, Oriental influences or Western influences, Austro-Hungarian in the past. And as you said, it's like the border zone between West and the Eastern world. So I like it that way. I think that mixture is very unique, and I think that is a great charm of this area. Not
I
just
totally
Belgrade,
agree.
But in general, Serbia and Western Balkan, as you said.
Definitely. What's your favorite neighborhood in Belgrade?
It's Zemuna neighborhood.
Yeah, that's not Belgrade. The Zemunites
well,
would tell
it
you.
It is. it's one of the 17 municipalities, so yeah.
Yes, legally speaking, but from my understanding, my Zemun friends say we live in Zemun, not
Yeah, that's the truth. when we talk about the city center or that part of Belgrade, maybe Stari Grad.
Mm-hmm.
It's old town. When we talk about wider Belgrade, it's Zemun.
So do you live in Zemun or you just spend a lot of time there?
Well, both. Yeah.
So
I think I think it's the part of the city with the biggest soul, if I can say like that, because you have everything. You have the river, you have nature, you have street which is full of cafes, some craft stores and green market, and somehow it's town inside of the town, and it really is, because earlier Zemun was not a part of Belgrade, so it was completely different town.
Yeah. It's true. It does have that feel. I think if we didn't have children and we didn't have to get them to school, et cetera, I think we would consider Zemun for living as well. It's got a kind of bohemian feel, but also, it's connected to the city. You can get into Belgrade by bike in, 10, 15 minutes. But it has a different soul to it. What's your favorite restaurant in Zemun?
It's really hard to say. It's a tough question. But maybe I would say a restaurant, Sharan. It's a very famous mm-hmm. restaurant with fish specialties.
Yeah, I've been there.
And also many different coffee shops and restaurants on the river, because you have the perfect food and you have the perfect view. So it's a great
yes.
combination. I love that.
Have you... taken note of the emergence or the continued emergence of craft beer culture in Belgrade and beyond?
Yes. Honestly, I don't drink beer, so I prefer that wine part mm-hmm. of the Belgrade and wine tours. But yeah, I know many craft breweries that create great beer,
mm-hmm.
and they're also famous among tourists. So it is some kind of attraction here in Zemun and in Belgrade also.
Yeah, I mean, the beer and the wine is, I think, are now, to me, I think they were underrated before. When I first got here, I didn't really note that. There's great wines from throughout Serbia. And then there's also, more and more good beer. It seems like you could easily do a wine and beer tour of Belgrade that would easily last 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah, exactly. Many people don't know that because of geography and climate here in Serbia, we have perfect wine regions and many different types of wine, so people can really feel that spirit of wineries in Belgrade, to walk through the vineyards and visit some small wineries, try a local wine, and I think it's very precious, because apart just from the wines, in general, when we talk about food in Serbia, it's one country that has so many organic products.
Yeah,
we use fresh ingredients, we buy things on green markets, we use healthy food, mm-hmm. even in 21st century, when many countries don't have that opportunity. And I think that foreigners and both Serbs recognize that.
Yeah, it's true. I've actually had a few guests on this podcast that are in the in the market or are providing products, healthy products that are organic and natural. And I do note that, you know, a lot of the cuisine is really based on fresh food, fresh organic vegetables, and people really care about that. And even though, for example, everybody makes Ivar, everybody is interested in like what is the best, freshest, you know, most tasty, but also, let's say, most well-made Ivar. And the same goes for, you know, even jalapeño, something that seems so simple. Everybody has their opinion on where is the best place for jalapeño and or who makes the best jalapeño, which I think is...
And burek.
And burek.
Don't forget burek. Oh, yeah.
I tell you, my favorite burek place in Belgrade is actually the one that's on Kalinic. And every time I go to Kalinic, I just stop there and eat. But I must say, burek, when you eat burek, you know you ate burek all day.
Exactly. Yeah, I know that feeling.
Yeah, it's like, oh, wow, I really, you know, 4 hours later, it's like, yep, I ate a lot of burek earlier.
It's everything for today.
Exactly. I shouldn't eat dinner if I had burek for lunch. So do you have like colleagues on call, or do you do most of it yourself? I mean, how do you arrange things? Let's say when it gets busier, how do you divide up your work?
Well, I really, really love this, so it's not so hard in that case. But most of the time, it's a one-woman show.
Yeah.
But I also have some friends that help me a lot, that are like IT support and the marketing support and people.
You have a nice, very nice website, I should say.
Thank you.
Yeah. AlternativeServia.com.
Yeah, AlternativeServia.com. It will be updated soon, and I will always put some new blogs with interesting topics there, so people can read about Serbia, about food, about culture. And also, I love the fact that I have friends who are supporting this idea, and they like it, and it's very meaningful for me, and I hope that I will make also some kind of connection with foreigners and to create community with them and help them to see not just the tour guide and the professionalist behind this website and behind this business, but to see a friend in Serbia, to feel that they have a friend who can contact and ask for everything. I want to make that kind of relationship with guests.
That's great. It's like you said, it's community. It's about making connections and making people feel like they're at home or that they're comfortable in a new place. And that's that comes through both in your website, but in the way you describe what you do. So it's quite impressive.
Thank you.
I want to mention to all listeners out there that Maria was gracious enough to say that anyone who listens to this podcast and would like to book some kind of a tour through her site, if you mention the Lost and Found in Serbia podcast, she will offer a 10% discount on any of the tours. So thank you for that, Maria.
Thank you for mentioning that.
So thank you for taking the time. I'm happy to promote your work and to see a new small business start around this great concept to tourism that's based on friendship, on outreach, on cultural ambassadorship. It's really great to see, and I really wish you all the best and good luck in all of your efforts, especially as we emerge from this pandemic.
Thank you so much, Ivan. It was my pleasure, and I hope that this pandemic will end soon and that we will all can enjoy Serbian wonders.
Absolutely. Thanks again, Maria.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Lost and Found in Serbia. I hope you come again. I would also invite you to peruse the other offerings that are available on the podcast.rs platform, which is the premier platform for podcasting in Serbia. I'm Evan Trace, and see you next time.